Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
It's hard to stay calm these days with all the news around us, right? U.S. stocks sold off sharply on Friday while the dollar jumped as investors grappled with rising geopolitical tensions. There's rivalry between the U.S. and China blocs, possible Middle East conflict escalation, and a really busy political calendar for 2024. But here on Money and Me, with me, Michelle Martin, I want to help you keep calm and keep claiming your dividends. So here we are with our slice of peace today. And I've invited Willie King, Dividend Titan, to help us maintain the sense of peace amidst all this uncertainty. So we're going to look at a healthcare REIT, a Singaporean fintech, and one of Singapore's biggest firms as we look at dividend stocks that have been paying steady dividends for more than a decade. We love the sound of that, Willie. How are you this morning?
Really good, Michelle. Let's bring some sexy dividends back.
Let's bring some calm back to everybody's life. Do you like the bird sound I have for you today?
Yeah. Oh, I love the sound of that.
All right. Now, you know I have to ask the obvious. Do you have any of these three stocks in portfolio? You can just say yes, yes, no, or no, yes, yes, and then elaborate along the way. What do you think? So we keep some surprise.
All right, Michelle, I'm just going to keep you guys on suspense here. Yes, I do own some of these stocks here. I'm not going to tell how many I've owned all the stocks which are discussing, but I do own some of them. And this is something which I do. Like, I eat my own cooking. I, you know, look at some of the stocks which I like, and I share it with, you know, readers on your show.
Absolutely wonderful. So let us start with your first pick, which, for the listener, is one of Singapore's biggest companies. It is a securities and derivatives market infrastructure company. You can play along at home and try and guess it before Willie says what it is, okay? And their activities involve investment holding, treasury management, admin services, a provision of market data, technology connectivity service, and its last done share price was $9.10. Okay, everybody guess. Willie, what are we talking about?
It is the only stock exchange in town, which is the Singapore Stock Exchange Group.
That's it. Okay, why is this your pick? And then I'll ask you a little bit of critical questions because, you know, when we talk about steady dividend payments, right? We want to ask, what do we mean by steady over what period of time? And how do we know that it pays it out regardless of volatility in the market? So those are my questions at the back of my head. But you go ahead and tell me why Singapore Exchange Group is first on your list of a steady dividend stock.
Sure, Michelle. I mean, this is one of Singapore's traditional blue chips, and it's quite a quiet dividend pay. I think not a lot of people talk about it because usually in the Singapore market, people are talking about banks and REITs. But Singapore Exchange actually comes to mind because it's considered a monopoly in Singapore because being the only Singapore exchange, and they have a very strong network effect. So stock exchanges, one thing which I like about their business model is that they are essentially like a platform. For example, Facebook, Google. As more investors trade Singapore stocks, the greater the volume of trades on this SGX platform, and the more trading fees the company makes. So if you think about it, each transaction an investor buys into a share today, it might cost maybe 2 cents or 3 cents, but it all adds up. Because if you think about it, Singapore Exchange has been around for many, many years, and they are at the heart of many wonderful listed companies in Singapore, especially the Singapore REIT market, which is right now the fourth largest in the world. And Singapore REIT has also attracted a lot of companies, property companies coming to Singapore to get listed. So Singapore Exchange has that kind of magnetism to attract property-related companies, for example. And one thing which I like about Singapore Exchange is that it doesn't need to reinvest a lot of these excess profits. If you see Singapore Exchange, a lot of the capital expenses which they need to invest into the business is roughly your technology platforms, some of the equipment. And over the last 10 years, Singapore Exchange has roughly invested about close to $600 million into their equipment, their technology, and their infrastructure. But here's the thing, Michelle. While they have invested about close to $600 million, they are able to actually grow their revenues quite significantly. In fact, they have actually grown their revenues from close to $700 million in 2014 and almost doubled that amount in 2023 last year to about $1.2 billion. And at the same time, for the same amount of capital which they invest, close to $600 million, they've also grew their net profits quite consistently from about $300 million and almost doubled that, close to $570 million last year. So I would say that Singapore Exchange is quite a capital efficient kind of business here, and it really is driven by that network effect from its platform.
I want to ask you a question, Willie. In times of geopolitical crises, for example, you know, we've seen traders bracing for Israel, wondering if Dow futures are going to be rebounding from its worst week of 2024 recently. NASDAQ 100, will it brace for a bear market? Will it charge ahead? S&P 500, worst week since October amidst all these geopolitical tensions last week. So, you know, when we look at what's happening with exchanges around the world, especially in the US, is the Singapore Exchange sort of insulated from these political tensions? Why is this a good buy at this time?
That's a very good point. I mean, if you see Singapore Exchange Group, they have been around since the 1990s. I mean, it was publicly listed in 1999. Mm-hmm. And since then, there were also many market crisis. I mean, you have the dot-com crash, you also have the global financial crisis, you have COVID as well. But at the same time, Singapore Exchange has actually survived some of these market cycles. In fact, you know, they have actually grown over the years as well. One thing which I'd like to point out, and what you have also pointed out rightly, Michelle, is that Singapore Exchange can be subjected or impacted by the stock market, because at the end of the day, it is a business where it wants more people to trade, you know, trade shares or your derivatives and your contracts. But if the stock market is not doing well, then less people would be more willing to actually trade some of these investment products or even shares as well. So that could affect Singapore Exchange. Now, one thing what's interesting is that over the last 10 years, Singapore Exchange has sort of steadily grew their revenues and their net profit, despite some of the geopolitical tensions which we have seen, despite some of the crises which we have also experienced as well. And you can see how they have actually grew their free cash flow. In fact, over the last 10 years, if you see, free cash flow have actually grown very steadily from roughly about close to $300 million all the way up to about $500 million. And they are able to actually make use of this excess profits or excess free cash flow to pay out as dividends. So this is something which, despite some of these geopolitical tensions, despite some of the crisis, the business model in essence is pretty resilient. I mean, I would say that Singapore Exchange is a lot like doing a Rip Van Winkle moment, right? You get into a 20 years sleep cycle, you sort of don't worry too much about it, and you think about it over the next 20 years. We ask ourselves this: would Singapore Exchange still be around as one of the dominant players in Singapore?
Listen, I want to sleep for 20 years, for sure.
and collect those income.
And just collect that steady dividend. In your book, is a steady dividend payment of, say, about 60% of earnings, is that the criteria for a strong investment?
So that's a very good point. So for looking at dividend stocks, we also want to look at the payout ratio. So we typically tend not to look at companies where they tend to pay a lot of their profits as dividends. That means if it's close to 100%, let's say a company earns $100 and they pay out at least $90 or close to $100 as dividends, that's something which can be a bit risky, because it means that the company does not reinvest into the business itself, which also means that there could be a weak prospect. But if you look at Singapore Exchange, at one first glance, you might actually think that it's pretty risky, because it has a high dividend payout ratio. That means for every dollar the Singapore Exchange earns, it pays out almost everything. But that's the reason why it's interesting, because, like I've earlier shared, that Singapore Exchange doesn't really need a lot of capital, right? They only need to invest a little bit in their technology infrastructure, you know, to replace some of their equipment. You know, technology doesn't have to be too costly once you hit the ground running. And at the end of the day, they don't have to compete with other stock exchanges in Singapore, right? They are the only ones, which means that much of their profits, which they have collected, they can actually returned back to the shareholders in the form of a dividend payout. That's why, even though their dividend payout might be a little bit high, but I would say that this is an exceptional case, and it's something which I enjoy as an income investor.
And if you think about it, the logical question as you look ahead for the future of this company is, will more investors trade Singapore stocks, possibly? And then think about what that'll do for the volume of trades on SGX.
This is always the back of everyone's mind, right? Because the Singapore market is pretty small. So, and over the years, there have been a lot of companies which have sort of went into privatization. That means they've been taken out of the public markets. And that could be one concern which a lot of investors have for Singapore Exchange. Now, I think of it in a different light or a different approach, because if you see how Singapore is as a financial hub, it has been attracting a lot of wealth from within the region. Just last year, Singapore has actually held close to about $4 trillion in assets under management in the island city itself. For a pretty small country or a pretty small island city, we have actually attracted pretty much a lot of wealth here. And
yes,
as the money comes in from all over the world, it means that they have to actually put their money somewhere. You know, it could be overseas, it could be in the Singapore market as well. And as long as they invest in the local market, it will actually be a good, strong tailwind for the Singapore Exchange.
He's Willie King, founder of Dividend Titan. I've invited him for this special series today, this special episode, because we want you to keep calm and keep claiming your dividends. You know, it's uncertain times. We know high inflation, possibility of interest rates staying higher for longer, global traders on edge because markets are weighing the risk of retaliation, right, following Iran's attack on Israel. Investors are worried, but we don't want you to worry today. We want you to experience a little bit of peace. So we are looking at possible stocks that have been paying steady dividends for more than a decade. Our first stock was one of Singapore's biggest companies. Our next is a Singaporean fintech. This is really interesting. We were just talking about iFAST and its ePension division and how for 2023 it's reported 340% year-on-year profit. But you are widening the lens for us. You're saying that this has paid out steady dividends over more than 10 years, iFAST, huh?
In fact, iFAST have actually grown its dividends from about 1 cent per share in 2014. And last year, iFAST paid about 5 cents per share. So they have actually quadrupled the amount of dividends which they have paid to their shareholders over the last 10 years. And they have steadily increased it over the years. I mean, if you look at iFAST's dividend trend, it has been pretty positive, given the fact that they have been growing pretty fast as well.
You should share a little bit about what iFAST is. So how do you see them? A digital fintech first, you know what I mean? Global digital banking wealth management platform is the official term for them. How do you see iFAST?
iFAST is a very interesting business because it started out as a online unit trust broker platform.
Yeah.
So basically it allows people to actually trade unit trust, buy and sell unit trust. And over the years they have actually grown because unlike the traditional brokers where they have physical stores or physical outlets, iFAST doesn't have any of this. So this allows them to actually save the operating costs from rental to actually deploy or reinvest into the technology. And that allows them to grow pretty fast. Last year, they have managed to raise about close to $20 billion in assets under administration. So this is the amount of assets which is held under custody in the business itself where their customers can actually use to actually buy not just unit trust these days, but stocks and bonds as well. So it has been a very, very fast growth for iFAST. What's interesting for iFAST is it also has that strong network effect like Singapore Exchange. That means each time you buy a unit trust or you buy an investment product on iFAST online platform, the company charges you a sort of a small transaction fees. And the more you trade or the more you buy, iFAST actually makes more money. And what's interesting is that when more customers use the platform itself, it sort of gives that comfort or the confidence that this platform has some form of reliability or reputation. And this also, in turn, attracts more customers into the business. And that's how iFAST has been able to actually grow quite significantly over the last couple of years. And one thing which is interesting here is that iFAST, being a pretty asset-like business, is able to generate their free cash flow, not only just paying dividends, but also investing and buying out other companies overseas. And like I mentioned, they have also bought one of the wealth management businesses in Hong Kong, which allows them to grow their assets over time.
So how do you see iFAST in terms of placing it in the context of other brokers? Why is this the stock that stands out for you? There are other financial brokers.
So what's interesting is that for financial brokers, they tend to be highly competitive. That means their profit margins tend to be really thin, because a lot of the brokers, they compete on what I call price, right? They're all very price sensitive. If, let's say, if a broker charges you a much cheaper rate, I wouldn't hesitate to jump from one broker to the next.
That's it.
Now, iFAST is slightly different here. Now, iFAST, what they do is they basically encompass the entire platform. That means they have this huge ecosystem where they don't just trade your stocks and your bonds, but they also have your unit trust, which is a very popular financial product among investors. So you don't just get to trade stocks and bonds, right? But you also get to trade all the different financial products. And they're also, at the same time, pre-price competitive. What's more interesting is because iFAST, while they've just started about 20 plus years ago, right, in the early 2000s, their focus is actually on improving their technology and user experience.
Right.
So if you see for iFAST platform, it's much easier, in my opinion, it's much easier to navigate through their platform as compared to other brokers. And they're always at the leading edge of technology. What this means is that they're trying to improve the user experience. At the same time, they're also catering to a very niche market of do-it-yourself investors. Because iFAST doesn't have your physical human brokers. They have a few advisors, but they're also encouraging or trying to get investors to do it themselves, or trying to reach out to investors who want to do it themselves to make use of the platform to do their own trades, to do their own buys and sells. Because traditionally, 20, 30 years ago, my parents' time, when they want to actually, you know, place a trade, they have to actually call a physical broker, you know, someone who is on the other side of the telephone line. But iFAST, you don't really have to do that. Everything is all done electronically. And that not only saves them the cost, but at the same time, it also reach out to a very small group of investors who prefer to use technology to make their trades or invest their money.
Wow, look at iFAST, eh? 2021, you could have bought it at $3 a share. Last time, share price, $6.81. And at its peak, it was at $9.78. This was September 2021. Why are you confident of iFAST's ability to grow its dividends in the future, Willie?
I think iFAST has the ability to grow it steadily over time. So I wouldn't say that it can grow at a very fast rate, considering that iFAST is still a pretty young company, and the market which it serves is probably smaller than compared to, say, the US market, which is basically the capitalist of finance. Now, one concern which I have in terms of the dividend growth, of course, it's being trying to be a bit too greedy in growing their company or their assets, because like any financial institutions or financial brokers, sometimes when things get too optimistic, what some of these financial institutions will do is that they will go out to acquire new businesses, acquire new assets. I mean, we have seen that for Singapore banks, for example, even for financial institutions and financial brokers, that's what they typically do. And one risk is that they might actually overpay for some of these acquisitions. So this could be a little red flag for investors, and it will be a concern which I would want to keep in mind. But having said that, there are dividends have been able to grow steady year after year over the last 10 years. So for me, the predictability of their dividends to grow over the next 5 to 10 years is pretty strong in my opinion.
I love how upfront you always are with us, even with those possible little tiny red flags. But today we want to preserve peace and calm. So much uncertainty in the world, but we want you to keep calm and keep collecting those dividends with three possible stocks in your portfolio. Blue chips. So these have a long track record, strong reputation, experience dealing with good and bad times because they've done well over the last 10 years. And we're also looking at their ability to pay out a future dividend. The last one, wow, look at this. Dividend yield 4.2%. Parkway Life REIT. So why has this Singapore Healthcare REIT made it to your list?
Parkway Life REIT has been a very interesting Singapore REIT because it's one of the very few healthcare REITs in Singapore. And over the last 14 years, Parkway Life REIT has been one of the best performers within the REIT market. I mean, shares, if you look at the share performance, including dividends, it has returned about 300% since it got listed in 2007. Now, one thing which is interesting for Parkway Life REIT is they own three private hospitals in Singapore: Gleneagles Hospital, Parkway East Hospital, and Mount Elizabeth Hospital. And all these three hospitals are fully leased out, leased to Parkway Life REIT, which is owned by IHH Group. So last year, Parkway Life REIT's revenue has grown 13% to $147 million, while their distribution per unit has grew steadily to 2% to about 7.5 cents per unit. Now, what's interesting is that despite the high interest rate environment, Parkway Life REIT still commands a very low borrowing cost at roughly about 1.2%. This compares to other Singapore REITs where the average borrowing costs have actually gone up quite significantly, which is roughly about 2 to 3% here. And the reason why is because Parkway Life REIT don't just own the Singapore hospitals, but they also own nursing homes in Japan, where they're able to actually make use or take advantage of the cheap yen loans to invest in some of these high yielding assets in Japan. So this allows them to pay a much lower borrowing cost for the entire REIT itself. Now, one thing which I like about Parkway Life REIT here is that they are very transparent with their rental agreements. So Parkway Life REIT, the reason why they are able to grow their dividends over the last 10 years, in fact, they have grown from about 12 cents per unit all the way to 15 cents per unit last year, was really because of this rental agreement. Now, Parkway Life REIT, what happened is that for the three Singapore hospitals, as the three Singapore hospitals make more money, Parkway Life REIT actually gets to get a cut or share of the revenues, the growing revenues from these hospitals. So if you think about it this way, if Singapore is aiming to become a healthcare hub, if you're looking at how private hospitals in Singapore is getting also the cost of hospitals in Singapore is also going up, it's actually a plus point or benefit for Parkway Life REIT. And at the same time, if let's say the inflation rate has continued to go up, Parkway Life REIT also gets to enjoy the increase because the rental agreement for Parkway Life REIT allows them to collect more rent if the inflation rate in Singapore goes up. So it depends on which is growing faster. If the revenue from the hospitals are growing much faster than inflation is growing, then Parkway Life REIT gets to enjoy a percentage of the revenues from the hospital. However, if the inflation in Singapore is going much higher, then Parkway Life REIT also gets to enjoy that share of the increase in inflation rate. So it depends on which is higher, and this is what Parkway Life REIT has been enjoying in terms of their rental agreement over the past years since they got listed in 2007.
This is so fascinating. You also say that Parkway Life REIT is a good inflation hedge. Why is that?
Exactly, because as inflation goes up, it allows the agreement to say, okay, now that inflation has gone up, I'm able to increase this rent to my tenants, and they're able to thereby collect even higher rent. And this higher rent would mean that it allows them to pay out much higher dividends, because REITs pay out more than 90% of their rental profits as dividends. So it's always a good sign. If, let's say, if inflation goes up, it's always good for Parkway Life REIT here.
Brilliant, Willie. Thank you for helping us maintain calm this morning amidst
all so much, Michelle.
This madness. Keep calm. Keep claiming your dividends. He's Willie King. You want to check out more of his terrific work. He's founder of Dividend Titan, currently teaching a course. Willie, good. You're going to continue with people on your course for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, so this is a 2 weeks boot camp, which I'm in the midst of running. So started last week and also finishing up this week. So really excited. A lot of people are enjoying it in the class itself. So looking forward to hopefully, you know, opening up future cohorts.
Ooh, boot camp with Willie King. I will be looking out for that. We will share news of that with you as well. Willie, have a great day ahead. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Michelle.
He is the Dividend Titan. This is Money and Me. I am Michelle Martin. Thank you so much for your company.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.